Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Instagram at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Well, there, it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. ESPN 1000, Hanley and Zander for a couple hours here on a Saturday morning. We've got so much to talk about and not a lot of good, Brian. Well, you look, the Cubs beat the World Series champions yesterday. You want to start off there?
Hey, Keegan Thompson.
Oh, we're doing that? Thompson. Okay, all right, we'll do that.
It's good. Fire Tony.
Yeah, it's to the same beat, you know? That's just kind of...
Giolito.
Right. Well, yeah, you worked it out today, haven't you?
Hey, Keegan Thompson, a tip of the Jed Hoyer cap to him. I mean, at least there was something to watch yesterday because...
Right about that. I mean, look, if you're a baseball fan and you spend time watching the White Sox, that was, for a time it was okay. And, Giolito just ain't right this year. Is it COVID? His stint with COVID, there's just so many variables. We don't know why. It's just not right. That's not the guy that we thought.
Last Sunday we were talking about his previous three starts, and now it's four consecutive starts, 20 earned runs, 20 and two-thirds innings pitched, if my math is correct, 7 home runs. See, now that...
That's a problem.
He's allowed 6 runs in the last 4 starts, 6 runs, 2 runs, 4 runs, 8 runs. Yep. 6-2-4-8, who do we appreciate?
Giolito right now. I don't think he appreciates himself right now.
Yeah,
there's a guy who will get on himself, and you could tell. You saw the camera shots. Oh, great Apple TV broadcast.
Oh, they have to double down. It's bad enough I'm watching Matt Foster come in and implode after Giolito set the table for bad.
I know what you're going to bring up. I'm at top of the sixth, right?
No, but that Apple TV. I mean,
yeah, but was it better when at the top of the sixth when they pulled the thing that they did so many years ago with the Bears and they just pulled the field mics and just let the action or the non-action speak for itself?
Yeah, Jeff Agress, the media columnist for the Sun-Times, tweeted out, I really like that. I would have liked it for the whole game, but that's just me.
Right. As soon as that happened, I said out loud, we will be talking about this tomorrow morning because this might be better than what we've heard before. Because the side, I don't remember the players. Okay. So, but it's the, it was the analyst that's in the booth. The other analyst, the female, I don't remember her name.
If I cared enough, I would know.
Maybe, right. And it doesn't matter. And this has nothing to do with anything but the fact that they are out-of-town announcers, and they're not great. Play-by-play, Melanie, I think her name is, she's not bad, but the point is, there was
great.
A point, and that's fine, and that's fine.
And it's not, certainly not anything to do with being a woman.
Right, it's not good. Right, it's not great, especially if you're from, Chicago, and you want to see a home call. There are better national calls that will work for a hometown fan. Makes sense?
Right.
And the analyst...
And we are spoiled for choice in this town.
And we are.
Sometimes has a poll, and some people are going to really embrace it, other people are going to be not so much. But one of the comments from the fan who voted in the poll said, even if you come in last place in that poll, you'd be number one in most every other market because that's how good we have it. When it comes to baseball booths, right?
You're absolutely right. And the thing that bothered me, it was like 1 minute, 1 minute into the game broadcast. And I don't know if it was the pregame leading up or whatever, but like 1 minute into the broadcast, the one analyst said something like, and Andrew Vaughn, boy, he came out of nowhere. He wasn't supposed to be anything special. I can't remember whatever the quote was, but it's like, can you please, this information is available on the internet. Yeah. Could you do a little research?
But you talked to someone on the field.
All of that. That is not hard information to get.
No.
And to say something like Andrew Vaughn came out of nowhere, he's a big surprise. Did you know he was a Golden Spikes winner? Did you know he was a high draft pick? Did you know that he had a slump last year, but he came out blazing last year?
Yeah.
So that's what makes it even more painful is when they don't do the research and they don't do the basics.
Yeah, and you mentioned they've done it with football games where the alternate network, you could go there and not listen to anybody, just listen to the sound.
Well, they did that on CBS on their main broadcast, and I was trying to remember what year. It must have been sometime in the 80s. I can't remember when that was, but that was a very famous game. And it was weird, but it was enjoyable in a different way. Now, if we're going to have the Apple TV broadcast, I would agree. I would rather not hear that. I know some people with Benetti and Stone maybe would want it silent too. Fred will, he'll be banging that drum forever.
He's made peace with Jason. I don't know if he appreciates his broadcast anymore, but.
There was one time recently that I had tweeted something and he had to jump on and say, they hurt my ears. It's like, get some earmuffs, pal.
So God bless Fred Biz. He's not going to change his stripes.
Even if
Jason calls in on the final Fred show and tells you how
much those stripes are permanent. Those stripes are permanent.
That you could hear everything in the ballpark when they weren't talking. They're doing field levels.
Mm-hmm.
And, I even heard Deshaun Watson scream, get up on in there. It was a little too much natural sound, maybe.
Yeah.
It was like he was getting a massage right there in the Minute Maid. Get up on in there. How many times do you think he's going to hear that from a defensive player if he gets on the field?
If he gets on the field, that's the
get
key.
Get up on in there.
Well, and I know I'm we're skipping you. All around, but boy, what a mess in Cleveland. We thought things were messy here. At least we know the players and
good
such.
Lord. Anyway,
312-332-3776. If you want to jump in to talk about the Cubs or the Sox, Cubs, good day yesterday. Sox, not at all.
Unfortunately, it's the same Sox conversation every weekend because my guy Murph on Twitter is like, I thought they turned a corner in Detroit, right? Because the offense, Mankata goes 5-6.
Well, we certainly wanted it to. And what's with all the hamstrings? Now, I know that we've heard forever that, these players and people are accusing Giolito of this too, lifting weights, bulking up.
Not
stretching enough. I could tell you that I have, and obviously I'm not a pro player by any sense of the
means.
You're
a rocker.
But this rocker has in a softball league. I've tweaked my hamstring. That sucks. But I know exactly why I did it, because I did not stretch out enough. And I'm not sure. We don't know what happened, but what is with all of these? Grandal, and we are totally snake bitten. Seriously, I don't know what's going on, but Grandal starts hitting, hamstring. Mankata has a great game, hamstring.
But it's just one great game.
It's just one.
So every time you think they're turning, they go to Detroit and they beat them like they owed them money. And they're just 13-0 and here we go. We're going to Houston. And, oh, boy, that's a good team with a winning record. We can't possibly win that game. It's just every time you think they're finally putting something together, they turn into the White Sox. And it's just like, okay, one step forward.
And
I don't know.
Right.
I don't know if it's two steps back.
Now, I'm not sure.
Today.
I'm not sure of your expectations of the Astros series. I did not think that they were going to come in guns blazing and sweep them. That was not ever.
No,
that never entered my mind. But make it competitive, and we were 3-3, and our bullpen. What did we say over the winter? How great was our bullpen? Is that what we
came
said? Was
of,
that what everybody
what?
Was saying?
It
right?
It came out of nowhere. That bullpen.
Yeah, in a bad, bad way. Now, I know Foster, I don't know where Ruiz is. He didn't have a great last outing. Foster has been a stud at times, but that didn't work. Our middle relief is really, really bad. And if Giolito, our starter, can't get us at least to 7, which is what happened again, this is the problem. There's the soft spot right there. And then we're not able to respond. Now, for us to be able to respond with 10 runs inside 3 innings, that's a tall task. So it was the pitching staff that failed us yesterday, but it was competitive for a little.
And, they're going to Tony La Russa should have pulled Giolito before he did, and here comes Tony, the next batter. you got to execute your pitches. I mean, 14 batters in that sixth inning.
This is not about Tony pulling Giolito early enough. As a matter of fact, at what point do you give Tony credit for keeping Giolito in the pro that he is to try to figure it out to save himself?
Yeah, it
didn't happen. But I mean, that should be the approach because the middle relief spot is soft. We're not getting it done there.
Well, you mentioned and Lucas, you know, at least he has a good spot on self analysis. Doesn't help you right now because of the rut he's in, but he knew what he wasn't doing last night. And he knows he has to be better.
Yep, and here's some audio with Mr. Giolito after the game. None too happy.
A little bit in the sixth inning.
Not really. I mean, I just felt like walked the leadoff guy and fell behind pretty much over my face. Didn't execute pitches. Got burned. That's really it.
What did you kind of find in the middle innings there that was working for you? I mean, they got the early runs pretty quick on you, and then you kind of settled in.
Worked on some mechanical adjustments leading up to this that I thought were pretty effective. I felt like my fastball was a lot better, but still not commanding the ball, losing my changeup. Middle innings, generally working ahead, using my off-speed stuff, slider and changeup, to be able to get back in the count, not be predictable. Subby did a really good job calling the game throughout the whole thing, but you know, it's on me to execute. Did a lot better job in the middle innings. First couple innings, home runs on not good pitches, missed pitches. And then in the sixth inning, it's just a whole lot of bad execution.
Nobody's going to be tougher on Lucas Giolito than Lucas Giolito, which I appreciate, but he's got to find it, and he's got to find it fast. And I can't imagine that Tony La Russa wanted to have to go to the bullpen at that point. Now, we've seen Tony go to the bullpen in the fifth, but he knows, I've got to think he knows what we're seeing, that the middle relief right now is soft. Bummer's not around. We've had some challenges. So to have the starters go as deep as they can is very important.
Shortly after we got off the air, we understand why Bummer isn't around. He wasn't available last week, and he wasn't saying why.
We were talking about that. It was the non-information. Same thing with Liam Hendricks.
Right.
It was a few days like, where is he? Where is he? Where is he?
But then it ends up he's hurt. Mm-hmm. So Giolito, was at 13 home runs on the season. We had a caller last week who said, you know that home run's coming. Well, the problem is against a good team, you can't have it come in the first inning and then the first pitch of the second inning. And as you said, you come back and tie it, and then boom goes the dynamite in the sixth.
Yep.
But it's always something with this team. It's just you can't go. I mean, God bless the Tigers are there for you, and you did what you're supposed to do.
To give you a little ego boost, at least in the short term.
Yeah. But you better start beating good teams.
Absolutely. Look, I don't know about you, Brian, but if I threw a couple teams out to you, the Astros, the Twins, or the Yankees. Now, take out the fact that two of them are not in your division, okay? Just say those teams. Which one for the White Sox scares you most?
Boy, it'd be right now I'd say it's the Astros.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Yeah. Even though the Yankees have the best record and we saw them again, it's the ad. There's something with the Astros, especially down there in Houston. If we want to have any success, Even getting a sniff of the World Series, we're not doing it without getting through them.
You better get a sniff of the wild card before you even think about that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But I'm saying eventually the scariest team that we just both determine is the team that we have to go through.
And speaking of good teams, it wouldn't be the Cubs. And the Yankees beat them. I mean, historically bad week for the Cubs. God bless Keegan Thompson that he actually gave you something to watch and snapped the Braves' 14-game win streak yesterday and the Cubs' 10-game. The Cubs have three losing streaks of double digits in a calendar year for the first time in franchise history. Of all the bad Cub teams I watched when I couldn't give away season tickets back in the day when I had them, a beautiful day like today, and people like, no, I'm going to go play golf or I'm going to clean my garage. Why would I go sit there and watch that crap? And we got to get into Jed because
Oh, we will.
The line, the line, you know, he sat there for, I'll give him credit and props, because Ryan Pace never would do what Jed Hoyer did. And Jed knew when a 9-game losing streak, soon to be 10, was coming, he was down there to answer questions. Now, I didn't necessarily care for the answers, but
he didn't
was there.
Hide.
No. And you know, and we can sit here and debate what he said, and we will, but at least he was there. Yeah. And that's what you do as a GM and president. And Ryan Pace is no longer here, but he was the first guy I've never seen do it and get away with it.
Look, if Jed gets a little more credit than Ryan Pace, that's fine, but just a little. Because what he had to say
we
will definitely get into that. We've got Owen on hold talking about Giolito and what he wants to say about Rick Hahn. We'll get back to your phones at 312-332-3776. It's Hanley and Zander on ESPN 1000. We'll be right back.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
And you can watch us today and every day on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Brought to you this week by Alta Equipment. Hanley and Zander here talking baseball, taking phone calls at 312-332-3776. We will get to Jed Hoyer. Brian wants to give him credit for talking to the media, which I do get, but boy, I did not like to hear what he had to say.
Oh, no.
No. Totally tone deaf. But aren't we used to that here in Chicago? Seriously. Seriously. It's like there are sports executives in this town that just talk over the fans' heads. Like, wow. Oh, yeah, we're good with everything. What are you watching something different? What are you watching? Why are you not? Why are you talking to us like we're totally stupid?
Well, I mean, the idea. It, just to give you a taste of what he said, that he thought they were competitive before the 9, now 10, just snapped 10-game losing
what?
Streak.
See, this is what I'm talking about.
I do, but I have a tried and true betting system now, and I shared it on Twitter, and there was, I won't say they're competitive, and he brought up one-run games. They're not very good. They're bad. But they have, I don't know, stumbled into a 3-run lead on more than a couple occasions. And as soon as if they get a 1-run lead, I head to my sportsbook app, FanDuel. And if they're up 3 or 4 like they were against the Padres, I go there and bet, because I'll take the Padres. And guess what? Ching, ching. I took them on the money line. And that 4-0 game turned into 15-4 or whatever the hell it was. It's as soon as the Cubs get a lead, I bet whoever they're playing. I don't care if it's the Reds. I'll take my chances. And they've got one. They're a game up on the Reds. They got breathing room. They're not in last place.
Well, you don't bet with your heart, thankfully.
No. I look, if they want to treat this team like it doesn't matter, then my team that I used to live and die with and you know, be crushed over from the 69
Then you're
going to
make some money on them.
Damn right. If Ricketts is making money, I'm making money too.
You had a field day with the Padres this past week.
I love that attitude.
I tied the Padres money line in game with some parlays. I made a little bit of money. Now, I'm not betting with both fists, but, you know, 25 here, 30 there, turns into a couple $100.
Brian, and I'll tell you something, too. You've got the ultimate plan. I know you're not going to Wrigley Field and staying in the hotel. Whatever.
The hotel too expensive, Zachary.
Yeah, Zachary. I want to call it the Zephyr for some reason. Whatever that hotel
it's
is.
It's an old train car.
Look, I actually stayed there, and I didn't pay for it, and it was nice, but there's no way I'm paying anything to stay in that hotel. So,
with Yurko. I'm not buying a churro in the ballpark.
This is what I'm saying. You're making money on the Cubs, and you're not spending money with the Cubs. That is the ultimate fan response to what is happening. Everybody should do it.
Someone on Twitter said, you know, because people are saying, I'm still going to Wrigley and I'm taking my kid for the first time. And I can't argue that. I said, and one guy said, I said, I wouldn't
save up.
And one guy said, I got free tickets. And I said, well, okay, that's
free is
nice.
Good. Free is good.
Well, it's not free once you get in there.
No,
you
know, I know.
You sit there for 3 hours and not get your kid hot dogs and whatever. So,
you go get lunch before the game. You eat a bunch, drink a few beers, and walk in.
But I'm just saying that if your kid wants something while you're there, it's his first time. I get all that. But if it's not your kid's first time and you're just going there because you can't, you know, wean yourself off of Wrigley Field. And some guy said, I got $8 tickets on StubHub. I'm going to say that's $8 too much. That's $8 more.
You're not wrong. And everybody's going to fan the way they want to. But I have only this to say, and we've done this on the South Side for years. If you don't like what you're seeing, don't show up. Don't buy the stuff. Cap had a great, he was losing his mind Wednesday morning. I tuned in on the
when
middle of
Superman
his...
Superman was better than Batman?
No. He was just railing on the... I mean, it was after that terrible loss to the Padres. And
which
he was
I made
just,
money on.
Yeah, and good for you. And Cap probably is a guy that bets with his heart. I don't know that for sure. But the point is, he was railing on them, and he was absolutely right. If you don't like what you're seeing, don't buy the stuff. Don't go there. Speak with your wallet. That is always the loudest noise to these owners. Owen is in Willowbrook. Wants to jump on an ESPN 1000. Hey, Owen.
Hey, guys. You know, obviously it's the players on the field that have to do the job.
Yep.
But once again, I point to Rick Hahn on this.
Okay.
James McGann was Giolito's personal catcher. He's the guy that straightened out Giolito. So they let him get away for a $40 million contract, and we signed Yasmani Grandal, who I think has been a bust. He's not been that great offensively. He's not good defensively. He's hurt a lot. McGann isn't hitting great, but he came out of the Central. He knew the batters. He's the guy that straightened out Giolito, and he was his personal catcher. So what do? We go out and get his high school pitching coach.
Well, here look, and I get what you're saying, Owen, but I will say this. McCann, he was a great defensive player. The Sox were not going to pay him what the Mets ended up paying him. And that's the problem. Whether right or wrong, that's the problem.
Right. He got $40 million. Grandal got a lot more. Mm-hmm. Grandal has been a bust.
Can't argue.
And I can tell you that, and that's because, once again, Kenny Williams, Rick Hahn, love the guys for the long ball. Defense is always a secondary. Guys who make contact. McGann was about the second or third best hitter that year on the Sox. Yep. He was getting a lot of
And that
of
was a big surprise. Hit. That was a big surprise. He was not that guy, and he hasn't really been that guy since.
But neither has Grandal.
He got traded.
You're right.
He got traded.
Yeah.
But and then again, what about this Moncada project again? The guy goes 5-for-5 against Detroit, and then he comes back and gets hurt again. This guy, time to put this guy on the IL for a long time. You got to keep Danny Mendick up when Anderson comes back.
Well, as soon as Anderson comes back, I think that they will put Moncada on the IL, and I think that they should.
Yeah.
But when he recovers, he
should be down. You can't go off of what he did in Detroit and say, oh, yeah, he's turned it around. This guy, he doesn't show up, and especially on day games after a night game, the guy just doesn't perform. And I'm telling you, until he gets down in the minors and learns how to regularly hit, I think the guy's been a bust. I put so much of this failure on Hahn that the players are what they are, and you can blame Tony La Russa as much as you want. But I think Hahn brought in a lot of the wrong guys. They overestimated their talent once again. And I think we need a major league pitching coach. We were supposed to have our bullpen was going to be the strength of this team going into last year.
Yep.
Now the back end, it was. It hurt getting Crochet hurt also hurt. But everybody has injuries.
Yep.
And since we brought in Katz, that middle bullpen, what you guys were talking about, has been brutal. And I'll tell you the difference between, and I agree with you guys about the Houston Astros. The Yankees got guys that can pound the ball. The Astros grind. They work pitchers.
Scary.
Those guys, and that was shown in the playoffs last year. And that's the difference between them and the White Sox. The Sox don't have grinders up at the plate. They got nothing but free swingers. We're great against 4 and 5 pitchers. But when you get in some of that tough pitching against tough teams, this team shows what their true colors are, and all you got to do is look at their record since the All-Star break last year.
Great call.
Thank you, Owen. We appreciate it. Good insight.
Did you hear the non-committal answer that Tony gave about Mendick when TA comes back?
Yeah, I didn't like that at all. I thought that was as obvious as the nose on our faces, Brian.
No. He said, can't argue with the numbers you just read off to me. Those are really good. Just go out and do it again this weekend. He did not so much as say, absolutely, sticking in the lineup and he's going to be out there.
Right.
He just, you're right. Those numbers are really good. And he's helped us with 14 RBI in 14 games. But he didn't even go close to committing that Danny Mendick's still going to be a part of this.
Well,
thing.
I hope baseball ops reaches down and says, Tony, because look, when Anderson comes back, supposedly Monday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you've got, and I know Berger has been a little shaky at third, but I'll tell you something. If there's anybody that's willing to, it seems like his attitude is like, okay, let me take ground field, infield every day, whatever it takes. Right. I will get better. I want to stay here. Right. You have Anderson and Mendick, for me, is the obvious choice at second. Leury, play wherever. Just spell relief to people. Let's not lean on him too hard. I mean, in Harrison, I just wanted him to work out, and he hasn't. Mendick is the obvious choice to stay up. And as far as what Owen said, I don't think you can't send Mancata down to AAA right now.
No, but here's what you do. You do put him on the IR, injury list, IL, and then, he has to have a rehab assignment in the minors. That way, he's not embarrassed. And guess what? Maybe that rehab assignment lasts a couple of weeks.
Yeah, no, you're right. There are ways to circumvent that system, and that would be a good idea.
Deshaun Watson, that's what you do.
Yep. That's a good idea. 312-332-3776. Paulie is on the line. We're going to take him after the break, and we're going to get into some Jed Hoyer audio. Jed, willing to speak to the press in tough times, yet did we like what he had to say? I don't know. 312-332-3776. Hanley and Xander here on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Facebook at ESPN Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
You can also hear us at 100.3 HD2 and on the ESPN Chicago app. It's Hanley and Xander on a Saturday talking baseball. We eventually get to a little football. Hey, Brian, I just got a Fitbit. I know I'm like 10 years too late. But I have a Fitbit, and I'm wearing it. And after talking about the socks and what's making me crazy, during the break, I just checked my heart rate. It is up. You know what? Maybe this is too much information in my wrist. Maybe I don't want to see this.
I didn't know Fitbits were still a thing.
That's how late I am on it.
I've got a mood ring, and every time we talk about the Cubs, it whatever color it's bad.
Okay, mood rings have been a thing and not a thing 7 times.
Really?
Yes. Yes, I had one when I was in grade school.
Yeah, I know. That's what my point was. I didn't know they came back 6 other times.
No, I think that they did for a time and then went away, then came back and then went away. Fitbit is not actually a fashion accessory, but insurance companies now are doling them out.
I used to work with someone at another station who had a Fitbit and during breaks would walk around the halls to get those steps in.
Yeah. Yeah,
I was like, really? This is when you're doing it?
Again, I don't know why I looked at it, but the heart rate is elevated, and it's not a surprise. 312-332-3776.
I butchered that on my tweet, and I hope they're not calling the wrong number.
What, the number? Well, I guess you only have one shot once you post it.
I'm one digit off.
312-332-3776. Okay,
yeah,
got it.
Called another number, yeah.
Paulie in Lake Forest jumping in here on ESPN 1000. Hey, Paulie, what up?
Hey, guys. Great show. Thanks for taking my call.
What you got?
Xander, you know I'm a bookmaker. I've told you this before. Mm-hmm. And this caller before me, he made some great points if merit mattered. Okay? Take a step back. The Cubs are a minor league team. One of the worst ways to spend your discretionary income, right?
Yeah.
So I told your call, and I made this point last night. If we put Loyola in St. Louis uniforms and we put Glenbrook South in Cubs uniforms and put them at Wrigley Field, people might not show because people aren't showing to the games. But the owners don't care because their new partner is gambling. It's not the player. Salaries are about to take a huge hit. Because the owners don't need these players as much as they think they do. Brian, you made my point. The Cubs are a minor league organization, and you're betting them every day.
I'm betting against them.
I don't care how you're betting it. You're still playing.
You're still getting involved, right?
No, I'm only doing it when they get a lead. When they get a lead in game, I bet the opposition, no matter who it is.
Of course, this in-game betting, this is why I'm building mansions in Florida. I can't print fast enough. This is like I'm selling cigarettes in the 50s. You got kids not only betting baseball, but I got kids betting soccer at 2 a.m.
Wow.
Kids, I'm saying 20-year-old, 30-year-olds. Like, oh, yeah, like, what do you know about soccer? It doesn't matter. These people will bet anything, and the owners have realized that their new partners of gambling, this is not a merit-based thing, and these general managers are just taught how to tap dance around questions because it does not matter. It doesn't matter. It's their new partner is gambling. All sports. Wait till you – this era of the $40 million quarterback, that's going to be done soon, too. That's because it's about
– Yeah,
well, inner game bank gambling.
Well, the $40 million quarterback is Tom Brady in the booth when he gets done. So I mean, that's
yeah,
true.
Thanks, Paulie. Appreciate the phone call.
You know, it's interesting, Mark, because they're building a sports book at Wrigley. They're going to build. You know, they have a sports betting lounge they're going to have up and running at the United Center. They're not going to do it, I guess, at Soldier Field because they're getting out of there. I get Paulie's point. The fact of the matter, though, is, you know, even declining attendance up until this week, they were averaging like 30, 31,000 at Wrigley.
Mm-hmm.
And because their payroll is down more than $100 million, they're banking probably more now than when they were paying.
Yeah, right. We've talked about that. It's just a solid business decision. But the problem is the entertainment is a sport and the fans want you to win. And when you win, you are usually spending money.
Mm-hmm.
And this leads us perfectly into Jed Hoyer. We've got some audio on Jed. This is Jed speaking on,
Thursday.
Yeah, sitting in the
dugout before the game, you know, holding court for 33 minutes and, you know, willing to answer all questions, not the way necessarily hardcore fans want him to answer, but that's his prerogative. And I appreciate that he was there. But he's now working for an owner who doesn't want to spend money. So Jed's still talking about building that next great Cubs team.
You know, I feel like through Friday's game, I think we battled incredibly well. You know, I think we lost, you know, 3 out of 4 games in extra innings. Each of those games, we had a chance to win, we didn't. And I feel like that, like, I really was proud of the guys and proud of the bullpen, the way we battled against good teams. And I think, you know, since that game on Friday, obviously, you know, the pen has really struggled. And, you know, that's been sort of a destabilizing thing for us. And, you know, really through Friday, I think our pen was really solid. You know, now, I don't know exactly where we ranked on Friday, you know, in the National League, but it was certainly, you know, among the top five. And, you know, since then, it's been a real struggle. You know, it happens. This is happening at the wrong time, and we have to figure that out. I think that's kind of the majority of the focus, you know, trying to get to the bottom, you know, of why suddenly these guys have struggled that have pitched so well for us.
Look, I would want to be in Jed's shoes. I can't imagine he is can score his job satisfactory score high. Right now, you know, you're working for an owner that doesn't want to, and we're assuming, but why? I mean, we have every right to assume and all the information we need to assume that he's not being given the tools or enough money to put a team that the fan base deserves on the field. Now, when things were bad and things are not great on the South Side, Han will talk too, and both of them are dealing with ownership that is not willing to do whatever it takes.
Well, Tom Ricketts wrote a letter to season ticket holders last October saying, "We have the resources to compete in 2022 and beyond, and we will certainly do that." You just heard where the bar is right now. Oh, well, we're in close games, and, you know, until we had the 9, then 10 game losing streak, the third one in a calendar year, which is a franchise worst in history, which is saying something, you know, that's where the bar is. Now, he goes on, and we'll hear more from him,
yep.
But you can't, and by the way, they're still top five in ticket prices. It's not like they, with the decrease in talent and the decrease in payroll, they decided to go ahead.
Wait, you mean to tell me they never cut prices on tickets based on the lack of talent?
Like 2% around the building. I mean, nothing substantial.
Right. Right. Well, that was more of a smart-ass remark. That never really happens. But the point being, this goes into what I said at the beginning of the show. we have Jed and we have Rick. And we have these guys that are willing to talk to the media. And they have to dance around the obvious. And the bar is lower, especially on the north side. And it's frustrating. So it seems like they're talking over our heads, right?
Yeah. And we'll hear more dancing after the break because I want to get into it. Because, you know, a lot of people who've been covering this team for a long time and seen really bad, you know, and they saw the great of 2016 and that four-year window, whatever it was. But, you know, Jed was like, he almost seemed surprised and almost, you know, kind of, he was basically surprised that the questions had the edge that they had. And I mean,
like why, Tony was surprised why Weidera asked why he walked.
Seriously, you're in a Turner. You're in a major market. You know, we expect better and should expect better.
Look, and part of a main part of Cap's rant, we'll get into the break and then hear more from Jed here on ESPN 1000. The main part of Cap's rant on Wednesday was the fact, and I totally agree, and I feel for, you know, White Sox are my team here in town, but I feel for Cubs fans because this is Chicago. This is the Cubs. They should never have dropped to this depth of bad.
Never. We have a Twitter poll because we have pain on both sides of town.
Yes,
right?
Yes, and we'll get to that after the break. We'll get that Twitter poll out there, and if you want to jump on 312-332-3776, Alex in Buffalo Grove is holding. It's Andrew and Hanley talking baseball on the north side and the south side. And we'll hear more from Jed Hoyer talking about the Cubs and his quote unquote rebuild. Don't call it rebuild here on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Instagram at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
I think this at this moment in time, I think, you know, I think we're all, this is a frustrating moment in time, you know, whether we feel that way and, you know, in a month or in 2 months, I don't know. I think right now, certainly, I mean, listen, I think, you know, the frustration that is in your voice. It's probably the frustration that is in everyone's voice over the way we played. Really, I would say, you know, candidly, I felt like we were battling and really competing through Friday.
But just a follow-up to what he's saying, and, you know, without necessarily knowing what the timeline is, does it feel further away than it did when the season started?
I think I have a better answer for that later in the season. I think that, you know, I don't feel like we've had a chance to really get everyone on the field and playing, and I think I'll have a better feel for that at the end of the season than I do right now. I mean, I understand why you're asking that question today, but it's probably a question I'd probably answer later in the season. No, I mean, like listen, I don't think I'm sugarcoating anything. I think that, you know, obviously there's been real frustrations that, you know, even when I think we were competing and playing well, we weren't winning games. We were losing one-run games, and I think a lot of that, you know, certainly up until Friday, was we just weren't scoring enough. We haven't been able to pull out those games, and so yes, I don't deny that. I think from a record standpoint, even before this stretch, we weren't where we want to be. But you're asking me to make some pretty global statements based on that, and I think maybe later in the season that's the right time, but not right now.
Maybe he doesn't have an answer. Just kicking the can down the road, Brian Hanley.
He said the frustration in your voice, and that was Paul Sullivan, the Tribune, wrote a column saying it was him. He said, I love this line in his column. If I sounded frustrated, my apologies to Hoyer. I meant to sound disgusted.
That is a great line. And look, you could substitute the name Hoyer for Rick Hahn.
Sure.
On the south side. As a matter of fact, our Twitter poll at ESPN 1000 today. Which Chicago baseball fans have it worse? White Sox fans or Cubs fans? Now, obviously, different problems, but same result. The Cubs team, let's call them a Triple-A team, whatever. You know, that, you know, and Jed basically, you know, talking as if they're better than they actually are. And, right. You know, it's not totally head in the sand, but is a bit. And then on the south side, the ridiculous amount of injuries for, you know, all season. And the underperformance, the bad defense, the no offense when we need it. Then we beat up on the Tigers. We think that might every time there's a possible corner turner it turns out that it's not it. Now, I know the Astros are a tough team. They're the scariest team to me as a White Sox fan. But to get blown out like that, that's unacceptable. So we have different problems on the north side and the south side, but the results are the same. We're not happy. So weigh in on Twitter at ESPN1000 or here at 312-332-3776. Alex is in Buffalo Grove, wants to jump in and talk about the Cubs. What up, Alex? You're on ESPN 1000.
Gentlemen, happy Saturday.
Happy Saturday.
So I'm going to start this off with saying that I'm definitely the most glass half full Cubs fan there is. And I can find, you know, positive in anything. But I'm really struggling now. I was a season ticket holder from 2014 up until this last November when, just after reading Ricketts' letter, I couldn't find anybody else that wanted to go on my tickets anymore. So I was kind of out. I was one of the World Series ring bearers in 16, and you know, it's disheartening because I'm okay with, you know, mediocrity this year. I'm okay with players that aren't, you know, superstars. All of the guys that we let go last year in these trades, not one of them is really outperforming any of the players we have on the field right now. Rizzo, Schwarber, a little bit. I mean, again, there's a little bit out there, but not a ton. I guess I'm most disheartened because either re-sign Contreras or just say flat out that the expectation is nothing. Contreras is OPS like 924. He's one of the top catchers in baseball. He wants to be in Chicago. Sign the guy, show the fan base, show Chicago that, yes, we don't have a great team, but we do have a superstar catcher.
And he actually wants to be here despite the fact that the team is what it is.
That's the thing. And so take care of him. You take care of Hap. I mean, we've got a couple players around there that, you know, they're not cornerstones, but they're players that could be on the next team that maybe contends for NL Central in, you know, 3 years or so, if all these prospects turn out okay. So give us something to look forward to, and don't go ahead and trade Contreras for more draft picks or more prospects that we're going to wait 5-6 years for. Let's see what we have with, you know, a couple of these guys when they're able to come up. I mean, Brennan Davis, if he can stay, you know, off the injury report, he's a player. He's got a couple of these guys, G. Crow Armstrong, a couple of these guys that they're knocking on the door. You know, let's just see what we have with them.
You know what, Alex? I appreciate the phone call. You know, you're right. It seemed like in the short term, Brian, to be able to sign Contreras and say, hey, you want to be here, we want you here, that would do well by the fans. But are they really concerned? It doesn't seem like they're that concerned about doing well by the fans.
It's great that they settled before arbitration on the, you know, middle ground, which was obvious. Jed wouldn't talk about it. You know, Contreras said he's not talking about it because he felt the guys who did talk about it last year did it to the detriment of the team. Mm-hmm. I will be shocked if Wilson Contreras is here after August 2nd. And Alex is right. I mean, he's the best catcher in baseball right now, arguably. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at the offensive. And, you know, they're spelling him, making him DH and not, you know, making him go out there every day and call pitches. So there's no indication that he's sticking around.
Right.
And the frustration is that when they tanked the first time in the pipeline, just like with the White Sox, you had guys you were excited to see, you know, waiting for them to come up. And there was an anticipation that they were knocking on the door. There aren't enough of those guys. And Morrell's been terrific. And, you know, he's a bright spot. But they don't have cornerstones. I mean, they really don't have cornerstones right. on this team at Wrigley Field. And I would argue there aren't real cornerstones within. I mean, one of their top prospects had back surgery. I think it was back surgery, right? Just 3 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And so I just – that's why Jed wouldn't talk about a timeline. And Kyle Davidson with the Blackhawks.
He doesn't have an answer. You're right.
Well, I mean, and because you don't know. Nobody right. knows how long. And here's the other unknown. Can Jed do this without Theo? Okay, it was Theo and Jed, not Jed and Theo, right? And Theo was laying in the basket at Wrigley Field the other day.
Jed was Robin.
Yeah. I mean, we don't know. And by the way, Theo could tell Ricketts, this is what we're doing, and had that kind of power because Tom went out and recruited Theo, and they had an understanding that Tom was going to do whatever Theo told him he needed to do to to win a World
and,
Series.
And that's why we ended up getting one. But Theo did leave, and you wonder what the story was in the background. Like, okay, they are not going to let me do what needs to be done here. I'm out.
Oh, no. Yeah, absolutely. Or, I saw the handwriting on the wall that the organizational direction was we're going to start pinching pennies here. And Jed never got that assurance that Theo got when Theo was in New York meeting with Tom Ricketts before he was spotted at Starbucks in Wrigleyville and everyone knew he was coming here. Jed, there was no back page picture of Theo walk. There was one Theo walking on Lake Michigan, walking on water. Jed's not going to get that treatment. So I think Jed's a pretty good baseball executive. But fact of the matter is, he's never been in the top spot.
And he doesn't have that control. And neither on the south side does Rick Hahn. And that's exactly why I brought up earlier, those are tough jobs. Because you know what you want to do. And you may have the capability of doing what is best for the team and the fans as far as winning goes. But are you allowed to? We'll never truly know. Are you allowed to?
I get they're well-compensated jobs, but at some point, if you're sitting in that chair and you feel, and we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, that people on Twitter felt like Rick Hahn's hands were tied, not just by standing by while they hired Tony La Russa, but that he might have wanted to do more things in the offseason and was told no because Kenny and Jerry are still there.
Tough gigs.
At some they're tough gigs to get, but at some point, if you feel you can't be the best GM or president of a team you want to be, how long do you sit in that job?
Well, it's like anything, right? We know people that sit in high-paying jobs that are miserable, but they have enough bills and they live their life and they just won't rock the boat. And then you know other people who are like, I'm not standing still for this. I'm out. 312-332-3776. We're up against it. We're back in 2 minutes. Zach is on the line talking about the Cubs. We'll get to Zach. And we even have more Jed Hoyer audio that we will get to here on ESPN 1000.